Good morning. If you'd like to be turning to Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, that's where I'll start this morning. Glad to be up here before you this morning. Glad to see everybody out. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. So it is strange how that people be, how mighty people become when they obey God. Both in the Old and New Testaments, we can see this. Because we have examples of ordinary human beings who gave themselves to the Lord and their talents and became mighty heroes, towering above their peers. Now, Moses was one of these people. Yet, despite all the greatness, he was prone to try to shirk his responsibilities because he wanted to make excuses to God for the plans that God had in mind for him. So when God told him he was going to use him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, you remember that Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" It was then that in verse 2, the Lord asked Moses this question, "What is in thine hand?" Well, God asked this question to show Moses that the Lord had the unlimited power to strengthen a little man for a mighty work. And God's people had been in bondage for a very long time, as we know, and it was God's will to deliver them, and God chose Moses to do this. Now, we know from Scripture that Moses was feeling unable and inferior to live up and do such a task. And so that's why the Lord asked the question that I want to talk to you this morning about. What is in thy hand? Well, you know the story like I do. We just read. Moses had a rod in his hand. And the rod, perhaps, could be used to turn sheep out. But the Lord transformed that lifeless rod into a live serpent and then back from a serpent to a rod. And this was going to be the proof that the people needed to prove that God had the power to accomplish his purpose through Moses. Now, how often, like Moses, do we fail because we doubt God's power? The child of God has tremendous power if we have faith in God. And the faith I'd like to read, Paul tells us about in Philippians chapter 4, if you'd like to follow along. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I got a story to tell. It's a happy story, but it's also a sad story. Most of you here know Brother Ron, knew Brother Ron still well. Well, this was one of his, and I don't know if it was his favorite verse, but one of his favorite verses. And every time I read this verse or think about it or say it in my prayers, I always think about Ron, because the people who knew him knew he always joked around. And me and him, we would always joke around. And I would always tell him, well, I don't know if I can do that, Ron. And you know what he'd say to me? Remember Philippians 4:13. He said that to me every time. So that's just a funny story I wanted to throw in there, because it's happy because that's a good memory, but it's sad because Brother Ron's not with us anymore. But moving on, now, is God going to do something for Paul that he is not going to do for us? No, he's not. Christ gives us great strength, and we ought not to doubt that. Because God gave Moses that great power through the rod that allowed Moses to do the signs. And these signs were to serve as the credentials to show the people that he was doing God's work. And it was necessary, because back in that time, and even now, but back in that time, there were false prophets. And the false prophets would try to mislead the people away from God's word. Because you remember Christ in the Sermon on the Mount warned us to beware of false prophets in sheep's clothing. And I would like to look at that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, if you'd like to follow along. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, God has never sent out his servants without evidence to prove their relationship with him, because too much is involved for the proof to be lacking. There must be unmistakable evidence, and Moses' rod became that unmistakable evidence to show that Moses was with God. Now, if you remember, too, the apostles had miraculous powers. They done miraculous signs and performed miracles. Well, why did they do that? Well, that way they done it to confirm the word that God gave to them to preach. And I'd like to look at that as well in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So there had to be signs to prove to people that they were doing God's work. Now, today, though, you and I, we don't have a rod, nor can we perform miracles. But one thing we do have is we have the complete divine holy word, the scriptures. It is perfect, and it's basically, we have the voice of God in our hands. And that's all we need. Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And also I'd like to read concerning the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So right there tells us this is all we need is the Scripture to save souls. Now, since we have the power of the Scriptures to prove to people what God says, we need to be content and let the Scriptures guide us to do His will, to find people to save souls, to talk to people. Because we know that God has the power to take little things in our hands and make them powerful and priceless. And this was true, of course, of that insignificant rod that Moses had. Now, a couple examples from the Old Testament and from the New Testament I'd like to show you. You remember in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, Shamgar. What is in thy hand, Shamgar? Oh, just an ox goad, Lord. But when he dedicated that ox goad to God's will, it became an invincible weapon, and he killed 600,000 Philistines and delivered the children of Israel, and they had peace for many years. Now, second, we look at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49. What is in thy hand, David? Oh, just a sling and 5 stones, Lord. Well, we know who he was up against, Goliath. His breastplate weighed 160 pounds alone. His spearhead weighed 20 pounds alone, and he was over 9 feet tall. And, of course, we know the story. David used what he had for the Lord, took down Goliath, and Israel was delivered from the Philistines. Now the next one is the little lad in John chapter 6, verse 9. What is in thy hand, little lad? Oh, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Lord. Well, Jesus, we know, had a great multitude following him, and they were hungry, but yet in the hands of the Lord, those 5 loaves and 2 fishes were enough to feed all the people, and then have some left over. And then lastly was Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. What is in thy hand, Dorcas? Oh, just a needle, Lord. Yet with that needle she provided garments for the poor, and when she died they all gathered around to mourn her for everything that she had done for them. And of course you know the story. She was raised from the dead. And we could go on and on and cite example after example in the Bible of people who gave themselves and the little things in their hands to the Lord and how powerful they became. And we know that since the Lord can take those little things and make them powerful, we have to remember that we have to use them and commit them to the work of the Lord. Our talents and the things in our hands have got to be done for the Lord. And we know that God never asks a person to do anything beyond their ability. But, you know, there's some, over the years, there's some excuses people like to make today. You know, if I had the money of so-and-so, I could do this or that. Or if I could preach like brother so-and-so, I'd be preaching right now. Or if I could sing like brother so-and-so, I would definitely sing. If I could do all these things that I just mentioned, I would be a happy person. Is that true? Let's look in Matthew chapter 25, verse 49. Matthew 25, verse 29. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So after reading this, have we forgotten what Jesus has told us? Jesus was simply saying here that a person who uses every opportunity for God to help his fellow man, to serve God, more opportunities will be given to him. But one who does not and who fails to use those opportunities may not have that many more opportunities to do good. Because God expects everyone, every person to use what they have in their hands. And it might not be a sensational work at first, but when we use what God has placed in our hands and we use our talents to His service, we can know that God will be not only pleased with us, but He will give us greater work to do and give us greater blessings. Because what a person does with what they have now is an indication of what they could do if they were given more. Now, what is true of an individual is also true of a congregation. Because a congregation can do anything that it puts its mind up to. So let us decide what we're going to do from the Scriptures, and let us all pitch in and do those things. Because anything God has given us can be used for His glory. So let's not let the devil deceive us into thinking that we can't do this or we're useless or we have no value. Because it may be that 5, 2, or 1 talents we have, but we must not withhold the talents from the Lord. Because you remember the parable of the talents. So we need to begin from the greatest of us to have, from the least of us to the greatest of us, to have the determination to use what the Lord has given us to increase our family here. So I want to ask you, what is in thy hand? Oh, just a clock, Lord. Do we use our time wisely in God's service, or do we gripe and complain and worry when we should be studying and praying and doing God's will every day to do good things? What is in thy hand? Just a pen, Lord. Do we use that pen to write thank you cards to visitors or to the sick, to the shut-ins, perhaps a letter to a straying soul? What is in thy hand? Oh, just a phone, Lord. Do we call those who quit attending the worshiping of our Lord? Do we call the sick and shut-ins to talk to them? Do we call and invite loved ones or anyone to service? Do we set up Bible studies? What is in thy hand? Oh, just a steering wheel, Lord. Do we take shut-ins to the doctor? Do we offer to drive someone who is unable to drive? Do we offer to pick up and bring people to church? What is in thy hand? Oh, just a Bible, Lord. Do we study and tell others about sin, hell, heaven, their soul's destiny, God's plans to save their soul, and what they need to do to obey Him? Do we use our knowledge to teach Bible classes and impart our knowledge to others? I know it's been mentioned a few times, but our children's and young people's classes are in desperate need of teachers. So what is in thy hand? Well, in Moses' hand, there's just a rod, Lord. But what great things was accomplished with that rod? And the reason why, it was great things were accomplished because he dedicated that rod and himself to the Lord. So if you're here today and you haven't been using your talents to the best of your ability, I got some great news for you. It's never too late to start. Because as long as you're alive, you can do something. Or maybe you're here today and you know the truth, but yet you haven't been baptized. Well, I got good news for you as well. Because you've just now heard the word. You confess that Jesus is the Son of God and make your life right and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And then you can walk in the Lord today, with the Lord today. Or maybe you're here and you're already baptized, but you have fallen away and no longer with the Lord. Well, I got great news for you too. All you have to do is come forward and repent. So if there's any here who have any needs, I would ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.